Topic number six, deviations in education and loss of heritage. The thing we refer to as education develops out of a need to carry forward heritage of knowledge and add new knowledge as the species of man continues to regenerate and learns from new experiences. Since each generation is a newcomer into man's environment, each individual needs to know where he is, what he is, why he is, who he is, and then what to do about it. The first four of these are the fundamentals that have to be established in the mind before the fifth, what to do about it, can be placed by the individual where it belongs in his life. What to do about it becomes a matter of personal choice. The accumulation and availability of knowledge in this category is virtually without limit in these modern times, so there has developed a trend toward compressing, streamlining, and omitting among the basic fundamentals in order to make more knowledge available about what to do. This trend has resulted in what is sometimes crudely referred to as a society of highly educated fools. Students are educated into possession of high-level intellect that is not attached to or based on knowledge of and feeling for the fundamentals. Intensive specialization further contributes to bypassing of the fundamentals. This trend is in part due to acceleration and progress, but it is more the result of deliberate planning to deviate education. The idea of the planners is to prepare the student to fit into the framework of the modern artificial way of life without questioning it, or having enough knowledge of basics to realize that it is an unnatural, artificial, man-made framework. With this purpose in mind, the planners divert education away from things that develop God-given talents of competitive individuality. There is no way the student can be kept from thinking for himself and exploring the talents he has by nature. But if he has been denied the spirit and feeling of fundamental basics, he has little chance of discovering his individual competitive potential. So without being able to discover and to develop his own power of individuality, the student has little choice but to fit into the ongoing way of life that surrounds him. From my point of view, this means that forcing society into conformity is a criminal, evil act because it weakens the power of the sum of mind God has placed throughout society needed to guide its direction at any given time. This evil tampering with education is far-reaching in its effects and has played its part in the destruction of independent, competitive-free enterprise and local independence. It has repressed the development of talents in those with natural gifts for leadership. Many emerge who proclaim that they are leaders, but without understanding the fundamental basics about where, what, why, and who they are as individuals, they don't know what to do. So they obediently promote the will of those in higher authority without questioning. It seems we seldom even think of these as leaders anyway. We just call them politicians. The highly educated student of today, and we constantly hear encouragement for higher education, the highly educated student of today is more machine than human. He is like a computer full of knowledge. Pushes button and out comes an intellectual answer. But he has limited feeling for how his knowledge fits into the common sense of man's position in the creation and the environment. Education has been deliberately deviated to produce human units of power that are controllable in a slave society, controllable because they have been denied the common sense of basics. This may seem to be a very far-out harsh accusation, but just think on it and look around. That's all I ask. Remember the philanthropic foundations and their power to establish educational policy through conformity required to receive funds. Then look and try to find an educational institution that is not receiving funds from philanthropic sources. Those who establish foundation policy are concealed in anonymity. At the lower level of education, the purpose is the same, only the method of diverting educational policy at the lower compulsory levels comes through federal policies and the power of enforcement. Legislation constructed around the Equal Rights Movement now lets federal authority bypass representation of the will of the people. Local school boards no longer have authority to respond to the popular preferences of the people, but have become instead the organization through which federal policy is dictated, subject to federal power of enforcement, right down to the individual citizen. Deviation of education is just one of the many components in the self-destructive trap we have built ourselves into. The entire trap is self-destructive because each component is self-destructive. Another reason the trap is doomed is because the planners of dictatorship have to rely upon units of human power they have educated to be imbecilic zombies with just enough common sense to obey their orders. Now the evil plan of enslavement has become so complex that it requires many people to arrange and expedite its almost infinite details. This requires more mind and sense than can flow from the planning source or than even exists in the planning minds at the top. So now the mind needed to execute the plan is becoming unavailable because its common sense has already been demented by the plan. It takes a lot of common sense even to carry out an evil plan. Machines and computers alone cannot replace common sense. So deviation in education was a self-defeating plan from the time of its evil conception. Now here is another condition relative to education regarding the instinctive nature of man. Man instinctively feels the need to know what he is, where he is, why he is, and who he is. He has a natural curiosity to know these and has to know them to feel secure and satisfy his survival instinct. If his understanding of these basics is slighted or denied, then something else has to be given to him in their place to distract his attention away from his dissatisfaction. Heavy emphasis has been placed upon sports and entertainment to distract and satisfy. Emphasis on sports in direct connection with educational facilities is the order of the day. This takes care of those at the student level, but education does not stop at this level. It is a lifelong continuity, although we may have forgotten to think of it this way. Through our modern mass communications media, the press and the electronic, this continuity of education beyond the student level has come into proportion never before possible, even to the extent that people have become addicted to the new source. It is hard to realize just how much educational information is received through the modern media. This is a very good place, however, to casually remind that education can be either in things that are good or things that have evil origin. Well, anyway, what was said about omission and substitution applies to education by way of the media. The same substitution by sports and entertainment is used. We are at this time a very distracted people, traveling on an uncharted course at an ever-increasing rate of speed. It's typical of a youngster to try to find out just how fast he can run. And he does. When his feet can no longer keep up with the rest of him, then he knows. But too late to keep from going down hard. Now here is still another outstanding facet related to education in the broad sense, and this is in regard to heritage. Heritage is, of course, brought forward from generation to generation through education, by word of mouth, by written record, by pictures, by artifacts, by traditions, and in these modern times by various audiovisual devices. Carefully selected bits are still coming through educational channels. Heritage has to have a living spirit of feeling to be of real value. It has to be felt as well as known in the form of intellectual fact. We are inclined to think of heritage as something that is lost a little bit at a time as the generations pass by, a little bit becoming lost forever with each passing. Since we believe it to be this way, we let it happen this way. Now, I want to explain something here which you may find to be new and valuable to yourself as well as to society at large. We seem to have the general idea that heritage is something that just happened to come in existence at some time in the past, instead of realizing that heritage had to grow into existence out of a spirit that prevailed and guided the hearts and souls of people. Society is not a mass of equality or sameness, but instead a sum of individuals, each having been given his own spirit, his own talents, and his own right of choice. Each individual has some piece of heritage, be it ever so small, that is living and growing as a part of the spirit that he feels. This means that throughout the multiplying society of man at any given time, there exists a tremendous sum of heritage that is alive in spirit and growing with our numbers. From this, we see that heritage is a living thing that can actually grow as generations pass by if it is exchanged and shared along with our other God-given talents. Mine is to me a most wonderful, priceless heritage that has come not only through family lineage, but also through many sources. My curiosity about basics cannot be satisfied with substitutions, and I am more or less sensitive about things being omitted. I like to know just what I am looking at, and I like to know just what I am hearing. When I find the things that fit together and I believe them to be valuable, then I feel obligated to make them available to others however I can, in the hope that they may add some valuable bit to the spirit that keeps heritage alive and growing. Now, topic number 7, summary and conclusions. I realize that I have dumped a lot onto your head here in just a few minutes, things I thought you might like to know, and I understand your right of choice to make such disposition of them as you see fit. In casual conversations, I have found that many people believe that if we have any serious national problems develop, the federal authorities will know about them and enforce whatever measures are needed for their correction. Then some believe that if anything serious develops, the people won't stand for it. Whatever that means, they don't carry it any further. And I find some who think maybe we do have some very serious problems, but would just rather not know about them. Some of my very own kin express this position, so I respectfully honor their right of choice. Now let me summarize what has been covered here and add some bits of addendum in the following 18 points. 1. From the visible effects we see in our modern way of life, the truth about causes producing these effects cannot be readily determined. 2. Our modern way of life is a man-made structure for existence in violation of a natural means of existence. 3. By constructing an artificial life support structure, man has built himself into a self-destructive trap that is baited with irreplaceable energy removed from deposits in the earth. 4. The species of man existed for 5,000 years before discovering the way to multiply his productive power many thousandfold by using energy taken from the earth. 5. The modern artificial way of life is unprecedented in all known history. 6. All persons now living were born into the age of modern progress. Only a very few have realized that progress has constructed an artificial way of life bound for self-destruction. 7. Modern economy is not a natural economy of independent, competitive, free enterprise, but is instead controlled by the self-regenerating wealth of corporate monopoly, which is assisted by government, also under its control. 8. The dollar no longer has reserve backing to give it a fixed reference value, so it has become a commodity, having a different value at different places in the economy, resulting in economic anarchy. 9. Alterations have been made in government which reverse its position as servant of the people. The people are now servants of the will of government without representation. Now the individual is held directly responsible to the federal level of enforcement. 10. Legislation altering the structure and spirit of government has been constructed around such things as the benefit programs and the rights legislation under the deception that freedom and enforced equality are one and the same thing. 11. Binding society to equality and removing effective representation has denied our nation the sum of individual mind power needed to guide the course of the society and the national affairs. 12. The few minds in control of the nation have not the mind needed to guide even a slave society. The artificial structure they have masterminded and used the power of the people to build is no longer controllable and is beginning to collapse. 13. Deviation in education has been accomplished at the higher levels through influence of philanthropy, and at the lower levels through federal guidelines and enforcement of federal laws. 14. Education has slighted basics, substituting sports and entertainment to satisfy natural curiosity to know the basic truths. 15. The keys to how the power of a people is used may be found in three words: anonymity, incredibility, and philanthropy. 16. The basic weakness in society that lets it become enslaved may be found in its ignorance, complacency, and laziness. 17. Heritage is a living spirit that can be let die out or can grow as it is exchanged and shared, since each individual has his own bit of the spirit to share. Traditional images that are burned into our minds, such as that of an old cracked bell, serve more to bring forward the deceptive illusion that we still live in a great land of the free, while day by day the freedom once guaranteed slips away as we are enforced into the clutches of dictatorship. 18. Society becomes enslaved by its own power of enforcement, since there is no other power. Motivation of the power of society works through its belief that it must obey an anonymous source of authority which has no real power until the power in society supports it. Now, I believe these things fairly well describe, in brief, the state of our position in history at this time. There is no doubt in my mind that we are at the end of a most spectacular, progressive, squanderous, wasteful period in history. By the grace of God, some now living may survive the collapse of our man-made trap and be allowed to begin a new era. Man had lived for 5,000 years within the limits of a natural existence, then we came along and blew it. Down through history, man has found many other ways to blow his chance. We have used all of his old tricks to build our trap, and then found a new trick of our own without precedent, the use of energy from the earth to bait our new modern trap. There is no doubt we have upstaged anything that has ever gone before, and I'm not proud that I, too, made contribution to it before finding out what modern progress is all about. Now I am caught in it, along with all the rest. This thing we're trapped in has been evil from its conception many years ago, but most of those who have contributed to its construction are, I believe, basically innocent of wrongdoing. However, we learn from biblical history that God is not hesitant about descending his wrath upon the just right along with the unjust. Evidently, he has ways of compensating for things that we are not given to understand. I like to believe that God may allow survivors to begin a new era. But if this be the case, I am sure that this era will have to end with severity that will completely kill its evil spirit. There would really be no point in surviving just to continue the tribulation of collapsing into eventual oblivion, trying to make things work man's way and Satan's way instead of God's way. I don't suppose we have earned the privilege of having another chance, by and large. When I look around and see the waste of things God has provided for us to work with, I'm sure we don't deserve another chance. We have not been respectful guests in God's creation. Most of us will do whatever we have to do to save our own skins if we find out we are about to be skinned alive, but not until then. That is just what the jaws in our trap are all sharpened up to do, but we have no honest leaders who possess the courage to tell us the truth. Many in high office have worked within the house of evil so long they are blind to the truth. But in spite of all the brainwashing we have been through as a people, there is still the power of mind and body in our nation to come out of the trap into safety, but there is no one to lead us out, as yet. The people would rise up and find the leaders among our great numbers if they realized the truth. Our fate hangs on knowledge of the truth. The answer has to come through spirit, good spirit, the spirit of God and Christ, where there is only truth. We are a people groping in darkness, with eyes that do not see past the blinding illusion set before us by worshippers of Satan, while they enslave the innocent to use their power to gain control of all that is of the earth. We need teachers and leaders who will guide us in the ways God meant for man to live. The evangelists tell us how to die, but in the meantime, we want to live, exchange, and share our God-given differences in a free nation, guided by the represented sum of our differences. The Founding Fathers gave us the structure that set us free to share our best, and it worked. Our people need to know what has happened to it, how it has happened, who made it happen, and why we let it happen. Now let me make a sharp turn here and be very contradictory. Then I will explain. I know many things at this hour that need to be known by all people of our nation if there is to be any hope of saving ourselves from total disaster. But I am not revealing all that I know at this time. When the time comes, it may already be too late for the truth to save anything at all of this most spectacular era in the history of man. What is at stake is a nation of people, possibly even a world. The individual can always save his soul, if not his body, by making his peace with God. But no one or few can save the sum of body and the sum of soul of a nation. It takes the power of the sum of national spirit to save a nation of people. The spirit that can save has to be good spirit, composed of many things: desire, willingness, love, unity, confidence, patriotism, and all that God has given man in spirit. The few dedicated patriots who have given all they could find to give to light the desire for truth have succeeded only in lighting a glimmer here and there that would either go out like a wet match or be quenched out by those in position of evil power. As long as the trap stays well baited and no national catastrophe is felt, there is not the spirit to do anything other than rest, squander, and enjoy. From the beginning, educators have known that to teach first there has to be the desire to learn. We have not at this time the national desire to learn, and will not have it until it becomes triggered by something that shocks the spirit of the nation into consciousness of reality. The communications networks are held closed to the whole truth by those who control them, as is the press media, except for a few independent publishers, most of whom fear to make a glimmer. All major avenues through which truth could flow to the mass populace are blocked. From these existing conditions, I have to believe that there is some reason beyond the limit of finite understanding, some kind of plan even greater than that for man's enslavement by a few. It may be that we must come yet closer to losing it all, maybe even lose most of what we have, before we are willing as a people to open our eyes wide enough to see for the first time what we have done and realize that it was wrong. I have found that among those who have received the truth and believe it to be true, one is seldom found who is really ready. They ask helplessly, "What can I do?" Well, if a man steps on a hot coal of fire with his bare foot, he doesn't helplessly ask, "What can I do?" He uses the sense God gave him and thinks of something to do, and fast. So it seems that for reasons beyond my understanding, the nation as a people is not yet ready to receive the truth. Perhaps some justice of punishment may be involved. Perhaps we have it coming for giving up our gift of individuality too easily and not using the sense we were given to try to overcome our weaknesses of ignorance, complacency, and laziness, and our greed. Perhaps nothing short of unthinkable calamity will kill the evil spirit that has possessed our era of progress. The thing we looked upon as progress toward achieving a higher level of civilization than ever before achieved turned out not to be that kind of progress at all. It brought no more security, contentment, or happiness than ever before achieved. It brought on the hardship and oppression of hopeless enslavement in an unnatural, artificial, man-made way of existence, and the disillusionment of conveniences that really were not convenient in view of the overall final cost. If someone painfully asks what went wrong, then I feel obligated to tell all as best I understand it. But it may be that by that time there will be no one left who knows the answers. This may be the time to think ahead into what would be needed to begin a new era, just in case God's will may allow a new beginning. To get an idea about what might be needed, first we need to look back at what we were and what we had that didn't work out. If we project our mind into the future and look back at what must have turned into a writhing mess, it looks almost totally impossible to have been occupied by the species of man. So much is unnatural. It must be a satanic miracle that it survived as long as it did. Things that must have been self-destructive, squanderous, and wasteful litter the face of the earth, and its resources must have never before been so scattered and lost to usefulness. Zooming in closer reveals an infinite number of little devices with intricate complexity, sheets and cards beyond counting with writings, markings, and numbers on them. Whatever the order of things was, it must not have worked well. It appears to have been added on to until it must have finally exceeded the limits of comprehension in man's finite mind. Those great craters in the earth seem to have leveled, smelted, and rendered their proximity unfit for life. That must be what terminated their most spectacular of all eras in futility, and it must show the means of its final self-destruction. It is easy to see from this perspective of thinking why the represented sum of mind throughout a society has to be the mind that guides the society. No one or few minds could contain the magnitude of intelligence needed. God maintains the level of mind needed at any given time to guide the society of man on its intended course by placing the mind among individual gifts of talent. The governing structure given to us by the Founding Fathers made it possible for a society to have the benefit of this mind to conduct a free society. We have allowed this to be taken away. The way to begin a new era will have to be, once again, a nation under God, returning to a natural, decentralized, decontrolled, competitive, free enterprise society that is governed by the represented sum of its own free mind. Then all that needs to be known about what to do will come through the mind God has given in the individual talents He intends for man to share. Every individual makes some contribution to society. However, each has choice. Whether he contributes from the spirit of Satan by greed for that which is only of the earth, or through love of sharing his best with his fellow beings, he contributes from the spirit of God. I thank you for allowing me to share these thoughts with you. Signed, Tom Wilson.